This is
Reliability Road Rash.
Welcome to another episode of Reliability Road Rash. I'm your host, Larry Posh, and this week we'll be talking about the courage to lead change, the ability to think differently. This week we have a special guest with us. He's the owner of Drone Services LLC, Mr. John Holwick. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here.
Hey, can you give us a little bit of insight on your background?
Absolutely. So I spent many years in the oil and gas industry. We used to travel around doing pipeline inspections, tank inspections, a lot of things for hazmat and environmental calls. Me and my guys would go into high places, confined spaces, just areas that they couldn't find anyone else to get into. And I've been a firefighter for 15 years now, EMT. I do water rescue, ice rescue. And we just thought one day, my wife and I, that, you know, there's got to be a different way of doing these and a way to help people stay a little bit safer and make sure guys come home at night. So this is how we ended up with the drone business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now I was sitting around, I was thinking about doing a podcast series on the courage to lead change. And I have to tell you, this is John and his business is the very first thing that popped into my mind. That was absolutely the first guest I wanted to have on this series. I, being in the military, I have been exposed to drones, and I can tell you that the technology is amazing. It saves lives. It does excellent data recording, reconnaissance kind of things. And I moved to the Midwest. I'm sitting in with different mills and different customers, and we're talking about maintenance strategies and plans for turnarounds and outages. And I bring up the topic of drones, and I look around the room and I get a lot of blank stares. I think a lot of people are just they have no knowledge of how much a drone can bring to the table. Would you agree with that, John?
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, brother, I've been to many rooms where I've had that blank stare until they realize what we do and how we do it. You know, then now we've been in business for almost 6 years. The first couple of years were really hard. Ramen noodles and hot dogs every night, you know,
but right.
People now, you know, it's starting to take off. We get repeat customers and stuff, and it's starting to go a lot better. But yeah, at the beginning, people just, nobody understood. I didn't understand. I was not a tech person. I am still not a tech person. I don't fly the drones. We have guys that do that. I work side by side with them, but everything is going to different technologies now to make things safer and easier, quicker responses. You know, everybody wants information immediately. And drones just fit the bill 100%. So
now you hit on something too. So just a bunch of guys that go out to a store and buy a drone and just go out and start flying it. These guys are actually certified in what they do, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And so the way, you know, we're in northern Michigan, we have to comply with other states as well. So they might have to say we have to go to Utah or North Dakota or whatever. They might have to take a test there. But yeah, I mean, the guys that we get actually went to college for it. They come out with a bachelor degree in, I think it was electronics. I might be wrong on that. But so these guys have years of experience. They have years of, you know, behind the throttle, doing that. And then also the specialty equipment that we use, I have to send my guys to training every year. We send them down to Chicago. I'm going to put in a little hit for MFE Rentals. They do awesome training on all this equipment. And so my guys are above and beyond what most people do. You know, you can't just, and we've seen it before where the companies will, you know, find someone that has a drone in their truck they bought at Walmart for $60. I mean, my equipment costs more than my house. Some of it did.
Right. You know? So, all the good toys are expensive, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So a lot of it is awareness too. I think a lot of people are not on the full understanding of the capacities of a drone. What's the wide spectrum of work that you guys get into?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, a lot of the paper mills, we do a lot of paper mill work. We specialize in confined space. That's kind of our forte. So with that being said, I mean, we are into the steel companies, concrete companies, chemical companies, gas and oil, just we vary a lot. We're not, you know, we're not experts in every field that we get into, but we are experts on the drones and what the drones can do. So if we have a customer call and they might have an idea, which we, you know, we want people to call us and talk to us about what they're, you know, trying to accomplish with it. And there's been jobs where we've just been unsafe, or, you know, where we felt it was unsafe. We didn't want to send our equipment in, and they understood that. And, you know, so we kind of get an idea, and we know what they're looking for. Sometimes that might take a month. Sometimes it might just take a few hours, but we need to make sure that we are going to get exactly what the customer wants every time.
Right. And I think a big point to hit on too is the safety aspect of it. I mean, you talked a little bit out of the beginning, but we walk into, all of us, we've walked into establishments. They have the banners and the flags and the posters saying safety first, and safety is the priority. Priority here is absolutely a chance to prove it by using drones. And I will tell you, I'll tell you firsthand, I had excellent maintenance teams. These guys were skilled. I had excellent safety teams. Everything was in place. But when your teams are making a confined space entry or working at heights, when I went into a meeting, my gut was just aching knowing that these guys were in that kind of environment. Even though everything was in place, all the checks and balances were there, I'd still be looking at my phone, be listening to the radio. I was completely distracted from the meeting I was in. I needed to know that my team was safe. And I think this is an excellent tool to help to relieve some of that stress and to make life easier for our teams.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, every day they're, you know, companies are going to different robots. I mean, they have robots that go in and clean tanks, back them out now so they don't have to send people in. And, you know, this is anytime we can eliminate the need for someone to go into a dangerous area, I think that's just a no-brainer. You're always going to have guys go in. That's a gimme. They have to do the maintenance. They have to do the repairs. We are just, like you said, we come in, we do a reconnaissance and give them what they need. They might be able to order the parts they need or, you know, get a better idea. And we're able to do that. So when they do a shutdown, we can have all that information and they're all ready to go instead of, you know, being on a time crunch with their shutdown and trying to get that information and then order parts in and all that. But, you know, like you said, we actually consider ourselves more of a safety team or a safety company than we do a drone service.
Yeah, you hit another good point there, too, is about preparing to go and do a job, not only from the safety aspect, but from a planning aspect, too. There's huge cost savings involved in this. I could tell you that when you're planning for a downtime and an outage, unfortunately, some of that time is spent actually investigating an issue, something that you can't normally get at while the machine is running or it's a hazardous situation. So this way, you'd be able to send a drone in before the outage and kind of get an idea of what you need or do a reconnaissance. And that way, you can utilize your downtime for actually executing the work. And that's a huge cost savings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and we found over the years that we're saving the customers. I put a post on LinkedIn a while ago, but I mean, it seems like every time we go into these situations, the customer comes back and, you know, they get my bill for a day or whatever. And they're telling me that, you know, well, we saved $80,000 or we saved $300,000. We had one that we saved over $1 million for one day wow. worth of work. You know, they wouldn't let me redo my quote, but.
Right. It's funny how that works.
Exactly.
Drones have a lot of capabilities too. And I was listening to you talk earlier and you were talking about 2D and 3D modeling and thermo technology. Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely. So drones nowadays, I mean, it's not just for pictures and videos. I think they mainly started out with the film industry. People started doing, you know, commercials and brochures for like hotels and all that. But, you know, they've came a long way. So we can go in, we do 2D and 3D modeling. We use that a lot for what's called emergency preparedness procedures for the oil and gas companies. We can get them maps of the areas around their facilities and around their pipelines. If they have a leak or something happens, they need to know where it's going to go, what's going to be affected, who's going to be affected, and they have to be prepared for that beforehand, so they can have different things in different places where they need them instead of just making it a guessing game.
Right.
We do a lot of thermal imaging. We started out doing that mainly for the utility companies and just checking different areas on the lines and stuff for them, looking for hot spots in their service lines. But then we started getting calls from construction companies, the ones that do flat roofs, and actually some of them like around the windows and doors also, around soffit entrances and stuff. That way they can see where they're getting heat loss, cooling loss for air conditioning. But with the flat roofs, we can go in and we can tell them if they have a area where the insulation is getting saturated underneath the membrane. Now, if you have a large enough area, they have to do a whole reconstruction of the roof, where if they catch it early, they can just fix that little area. So that really took off as far as the construction need went.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't have to send someone up on a roof, you know?
Right.
So we can do it all from the ground and get it taken care of for them. We also do confined space. That's kind of our specialty. That was, you know, my past experience. That was what I was the expert in for many years, confined space procedures and all that. So we like to specialize in that. We can go in, you know, a 500-foot stack without having to send someone in. We can go down into the pipelines. We can go into tanks and all that without having to send people in and get them the data they need, or the, you know, data to make a prepared plan for their shutdown. We also do ultrasound thickness gauging. We can do the sides of tanks. We can do the roof tanks. We have some customers, they have piping that's, you know, 16 feet above the ground on a pipe rack. We can go in and gauge a steel thickness on that. A lot of times they need that inspected by an API 653 inspector. So we'll contract a guy out to go with us, and he just signs off everything, you know, make sure that we're doing it right, and just verifies everything that we're doing. So that went real well. And then this last year we started doing, well, we started practicing with underwater ROVs. We live in Michigan, northern Michigan, all the Great Lakes, and there's a lot of shipping and piping and all that, a lot of marinas. So we started doing underwater ROVs to do inspections for them, and it's starting to take off. It's, you know, it's more fun than anything right now.
That's interesting, because I remember back in my plumbing days, we had a tool, I think it was called a sea snake or something like that. It was a cable with a camera head in that we would send into to tanks or lines and stuff. So you're saying that some of the drones now have underwater capabilities?
Well, yeah, we wouldn't be able to get into a line unless it was like a 48-inch line or something like that. Maybe sure. Like a discharge on a factory or something. But yeah, they still use the cables, you know, for the smaller ones. But yeah, no, we can get into, like, say you have a marina that their piers or their electrical or anything like that that might be underwater and they want to check. It's safer to have us come in and do that than to have a diver go in and, you know, worry about electrical shock in that situation. So,
oh, certainly. Dam inspections too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We found it difficult with the dam inspections because of water flow, but we still get pretty good data off it. Like I said, we're still learning. We're still playing with it. They went down, did all the training and all that. My guys are awesome. They're awesome. I tell them what to do and they do it. And they look at me sometimes like, are you kidding me? But so we're still learning the underwater aspect of it, you know. And like I said, you know, if you have a dam or, you know, even a bridge, you have the pillars coming down, it's extremely dangerous for a diver to go down there. And you're always going to have that. They have to have the repairs. But if we can eliminate one step from that, that's what we're looking at. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with it. And it's been working good so far.
Yeah. And extremely dangerous and extremely expensive, too. I've hired divers in the past for jobs around the mills. It's crazy expensive and dangerous, like you said. So we talked some about data. So what's the output options? Is it real life visibility on a camera screen, or do you send them screenshots, or how does that work?
Well, it depends on the job, really, Larry. We've had jobs where we go in and we might be working side by side with an engineer or their maintenance team. And so what we do is we set up a tripod with a big monitor, big screen on it. And we had problems before with everybody trying to look over the pilot's shoulder because, you know, of course, he's got a monitor on his remote for the flight. And everybody kept trying to look over his shoulder and that would bother him. So we went a different route. We hook everything up to a monitor. So while he's flying, you can look at a 32-inch screen and see everything that he's seeing. So that way, if we have an engineer or the maintenance guy that's right there, he can have our pilot, you know, maybe get closer to an area or go back, take another look at that, you know, and he kind of guides us on what they want. But we've also been into areas where, you know, we're the only ones there. They send us to an area and say, we need the inside of this tank looked at or the stack looked at, and, you know, you're on your own. And so right. from my past, you know, I know exactly what they're looking for. So that helps. So we collect all the data, comes out on an SD card. We bring it back to the office. Usually we figure about an hour of flight time takes about 2 hours of editing by the time you get through everything. And then we just do a finalized report. We have the report shows pictures of the area of concern. We highlight that. And, you know, sometimes we tell them what we think it needs, the remedy they need to be looking at, or, you know, just something that we found. And, you know, we have a road out one that's kind of like I think it's called Word, that we just put everything down, the information for them. And then we send them the whole flight. So they'll get an SD card that has all that information on it. They can stop it. They can pause it. They can, you know, fast forward it, whatever they want. But that way they have all the information on everything inside that vessel or pipe.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So we all know it's a crazy world out there right now, and people absolutely are forced to accept change with the way that's going on with the coronavirus and all that, especially in the maintenance reliability world. It's people working from home and taking a different approach on how they do preventive maintenance and inspections and the corrective maintenance. How do drones play into all this?
Well, what we're really finding is a lot of the places we do a lot for food grade also, but a lot of the places are, you know, they're downsizing. People, like you said, are working from home and they don't have as many people in, but, you know, the jobs still have to get done. You still have to do preventative maintenance and in your regular maintenance schedules. And, you know, we're finding that the customers are calling us to come in and kind of help out with that, get them an idea of what's going on, how they can fix the problem or what all has to be done. And then they can take that to their maintenance teams or their contractors and then have them come in. And like I said, they have everything laid out in front of them. They know what they're getting into, and they can kind of schedule that with all this coronavirus stuff going on. Cause they, you know, they're not wanting a bunch of contractors in right now or people they don't know. So it's easier for us, you know, a 2-man crew to come in and get them all the data they need going forward.
Absolutely. That's interesting. So can we like sling load a can of Lysol or something and take it into a room and disinfect it with the drone?
Actually, they do. I was reading an article here about a week or two ago, and they're using them for stadiums in different bigger areas, you know, large facilities. They do have drones that spray. They use them in agriculture, but they move from agriculture to spraying out. I don't think it's Lysol. I don't know what it is, but they're covering large areas, you know, with drones now internal. And it's just amazing all the applications that can be used if people sit back and they think about it, if they're willing to think differently and try new techniques.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I was just joking, but great. That's awesome that they're doing that with us now. Yeah. There has to be a new interest sparked in using drones with all the virus and keeping less contractors on site and
right,
keeping people out of certain areas and stuff. Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Like I said, you know, even if everything shut down and not as many people, I mean, places can't 100% shut down, and they still have to have their maintenance done. They still have to have, you know, an idea of what's going on. So, you know, this is just another safer alternative for them to accomplish that. And we're cost effective for them doing so.
Right. Hey, I always said, if you got a lead change, You got to be on top of it and in front of it. And with drones, you're certainly on top of it, man. For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Man, this is all really exciting stuff. And I think we should talk again and revisit some of these jobs in more detail. And hopefully it opened up some people's eyes and curiosity to the advantages of using drones. John, if somebody wants to learn more about drones and your services, how do they get a hold of you?
Absolutely. Well, they can find us at www.droneservicesmi.com. They can email me at johnh@droneservicesmi.com. They can find me at LinkedIn under John Holwick, or they can get me on my cell phone at 231-384-3596. And like I said earlier, we, you know, even if they just have an idea or, you know, anything like that, we'd love to talk to them, you know, and see if we can help them out. And we've actually set up with different drone companies because we work with people all over the United States. So it might be easier for them to, you know, get someone closer that does the exact same thing that we do. There's only a handful of us in the United States that do it, but that might be closer to them. So we'll get them hooked up with them and try to save them some costs.
Right, right. Well, thank you so much for spending time talking with us this week. And hopefully we'll talk to you soon, John.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Hey, check back next week where we're going to talk to more subject matter experts who had the courage to lead change and to think differently. Thank you for listening. Remember to follow us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, or you can check us out at www.nexusglobal.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Reliability Road Rash.